Hi, everybody. So I'm Amanda, and this is Judith. And actually, if we could get the first slide up, that would be great. So some of you may have heard of Trickle. And the reason we're up here today is we wanted to talk more about what that's all about, what we're doing, and also just root that in a biblical understanding. So Trickle stands for the Truth and Reconciliation Circle of Learning that's happening at the church, and we meet about once a month. And Judith and I are both part of it. So that's the introduction. So we wanted to ask just up front, so when you hear the word reconciliation in relation to Indigenous and non-Indigenous people, or like the government of Canada and Indigenous people, what feelings and thoughts come to your mind when you hear that word? You can just speak out. Peace.
Justice. The need to own up. Injustice. Fear. You feel weird.
Oh, yeah.
It just seems weird.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Well, I wanted to say that, you know, there's a tension sometimes within, I'm sure, this group of how people respond to that word. And when we were reading Habakkuk, at the first chapter, Habakkuk is really crying out, like, you know, about the injustice and the frustration. And I know that some people in our community are seeing the injustices of this situation day in, day out, and are feeling frustrated. And some people are not involved at all. And so there's just, you know, a spectrum of involvement and reactions to that word. So Judith is going to talk more about the passage from Zacchaeus.
So one of my favorite people in the world is an Irish poet named Padraig O'Tuama. He's a poet and theologian and teacher. For the last 5 years, he was the leader of the Corrymeela community in Northern Ireland, which is Northern Ireland's oldest community of peace and reconciliation. Everyone here is probably aware of the long history there of conflict. And there's a little prayer book that came out of that community with prayers written by Padraig O'Tuama, and there's one that's a prayer of reconciliation, and I want to start with that, and we'll go from there. Where there is separation, there is pain. And where there is pain, there is story. And where there is story, there is understanding and misunderstanding, listening and not listening. May we, separated peoples, estranged strangers, unfriended families, divided communities, turn toward each other and turn toward our stories with understanding and listening, with argument and acceptance, with challenge, change, and consolation. Because if God is to be found, God will be found in the space between. Amen. Wherever people are to be found, there is pain and there are stories. In Canada, we've got our own stories of beauty and joy, stories of separation and pain. These stories come from all the different people groups in this country. Trickle's focus is on Indigenous people, so that's our focus this morning. With the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, the Indigenous peoples of Canada entrusted us with their stories. I want to pause there for a moment and invite you to think about that. They entrusted us with their stories. Stories that were deeply painful and vulnerable to share. And maybe think for a moment about a time when you have shared something that was deeply painful and vulnerable to share, maybe with the person who harmed you, you shared, or maybe just in any context, with a friend, with anywhere you've shared, and think about what that's like. And Indigenous peoples of Canada reached out to us, non-Indigenous people, to tell us their stories. Stories of pain caused by racist decisions made by the British Empire way back, the Canadian government once there was one, and church authorities such as the Anglican Churches of Canada, which was wedded to the British Empire, right, and functioning as an arm of empire, as well as pain caused by individuals. These decisions were fueled by many deeply sinful ideas, such as the idea that a certain kind of white person is better than anyone else. In Canada generally, and in churches, we have responded to the stories of Indigenous peoples with understanding and misunderstanding, with listening and not listening. The larger Anglican Church of Canada has been working at responding over the last few years, and Amanda will speak more to that. But Trickle exists, our particular little group, to try to bring the response to the level of our congregation. What does that mean for us as members of Church of the Resurrection? The Church of the Resurrection is an Anglican church, and as such is invited by the TRC, as you'll see in what Amanda shares, to respond to the stories that have been shared with us. For those of us who identify with a particular Anglican church, we are invited not just to respond as individuals, but with a collective responsibility as members of a group that actively committed some of the wrongs done to Indigenous peoples. And there's in the TRC, there's very specific recommendations for churches, and Amanda will lead us through some of that. In the gospel reading today, we have a story, the story of Zacchaeus. It's also a story of pain and separation. It's also a story about people living under the rule of an empire and people who collaborated with that empire. The Jewish people were living under the rule of the Roman Empire. They were an oppressed people. And some Jewish people aligned themselves with the empire for who knows what variety of reasons, but people like tax collectors, which Zacchaeus was one, a chief tax collector at that, was working for the empire. And so biblical scholars tell us that he would have been regarded totally negatively because his wealth was extorted from fellow Jews on behalf of occupying Rome. And so, you know, we see that separation. You see the crowd, you know, muttering when Jesus reaches out to Zacchaeus because they don't, for them, there's this separation. They don't understand this. But then, you know, this weird thing in the Gospel of Luke is he always presents in all the different stories of tax collectors, and Jamie spoke to us about one last week, I think, Luke tends to present tax collectors in a positive light, which is really interesting. The way Luke tells the story of Zacchaeus is not about how terrible Zacchaeus is. It's actually a story about how in Jesus' kingdom, everyone can be included, even collaborators with empire. And it's a story of responding to Jesus' grace with action that expresses our faith and gratitude. I mean, Jesus invites himself for dinner, and Zacchaeus says, I'm going to make things right. And he's not doing that out of a place of feeling so terrible. It's just like, whoa, I need to make things right. And that's the message of hope for us in the Anglican Church in the context of reconciliation. We need to repent of past action and mourn with our Indigenous brothers and sisters who mourn. But just as Jesus is always inviting people from a place of grace into a new way of living, our Indigenous brothers and sisters are, like Jesus, inviting us to reflect on our church's role in causing harm and to make amends and live in a new way.
Hi again. You could go to the next slide. So practically, what does that look like? So the TRC, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, the context of that coming about was after residential schools in Canada, First Nations and Inuit organizations came together and came up with a class action lawsuit against the government of Canada, the largest in our history. And out of that, part of the way to repair harm was that the government would fund the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which was 6 years of interviews with survivors of residential schools. And so when it says the settlement agreement, that's what I'm referring to, that settlement from that lawsuit. And we are parties to the settlement agreement as being part of the Anglican Church because we instituted or administered 30% of the schools. So at the end of the TRC, which is a very long document, the summary is 400 pages, and side note, parking lot, I will be doing a reading club of it, like where we can connect once in a while if you're reading through it. I'm gonna try to read through it. But there are 94 calls to action. They're easy to find online. They take about 20 minutes to read. And as Judith was saying, we're focusing on the local level on one of them as part of Trickle. And so the next slide is the one that we've chosen. I'm going to read it. We call upon church parties to the settlement agreement to develop ongoing education strategies to ensure that their respective congregations learn about their church's role in colonization, the history and legacy of residential schools, and why apologies to former residential school students, their families, and communities were necessary. So a lot of the calls to action are directed towards structural institutions, the Government of Canada being the main one, also educational institutions, and the wider church bodies, like the Anglican Church of Canada, the Catholic Church of Canada, etc. But this one can be done more locally. So essentially, with Trickle, we're trying to look for opportunities to educate ourselves and everyone else. So there's lots of possible inroads. So we're not saying we're experts. I am definitely not an expert. I'm still learning. We're all still learning. But that's what we're doing. This is what's guiding us. And just to root it in the larger Anglican Church again for the next slide. This statement was made after the TRC by the Roman Catholic Church, United Church, and Anglican Church, acknowledging the specific calls to action. They're saying we acknowledge and welcome the specific calls to action that offer direction to the churches in our continuing commitment to reconciliation, and so on. So, and the Anglican Church has done a lot of different things already. If you go on the website, they're already funding different projects Judith and I are discovering as we are on this journey, and not just us, other people who are involved as well. So that's what we're all about. And then the next slide, I have, sometimes people would like some practical things often when you hear this kind of thing. Yeah, the calls to action are easy. The summary is a bit longer. Some people are already involved, like as I mentioned before, in our community, really involved with this work. And so connecting and supporting them is something helpful to do. We have a bulletin board downstairs where everything we're saying will be posted and updated. You're always welcome to come to a meeting as well. And I just want to end with a quote from Justice Murray Sinclair, who is one of the commissioners. He said, you're already involved, whether you like it or not. So the question is, how are you engaged, and how do you want to change your engagement?
To close, I want to circle back to that prayer for reconciliation that I started with, the second half of it that says, may we turn toward each other and turn toward our stories with understanding and listening, with argument and acceptance, with challenge, change, and consolation. Because if God is to be found, God will be found in the space between. Just like if you picture in the story of Zacchaeus, we have Zacchaeus in a tree, and we have the crowds, and Jesus comes, and standing in that in-between space. The crowd sees Zacchaeus as bad, as a sinner, and Zacchaeus is separate and alone because of what he does. God is waiting to be found in that space, just as Jesus is found there. He's waiting to be found in that space between Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples of Canada. Jesus, of course, is the ultimate reconciler, right? Those of us who've spent all our lives in church have heard that many times about God, Jesus reconciling us to God. But Jesus also wants to reconcile us to one another. And that's the work he's inviting us to join in on. We have our part to do. We can turn towards the stories of Indigenous people, and we can share our own stories. May we do so with understanding and listening, with argument and acceptance, with challenge, change, and consolation. And God will be found with us as we do. Amen.